Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Wade speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hello, girls. This is Mrs. Waite. I'm glad to see you and talk to you. Well, I feel like I see you. I'm just so happy to be here and talk about some things that have been on my mind. 1 Corinthians 13, you know, is the love chapter, and I've been reading that lately. And it says, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That means love rejoices in the truth. Oh, how terrible it is when somebody lies to us, especially someone we love. It's bad enough if we don't love them, but people close to us or friends. And it's very complicated. It makes life complicated when there's lying. I'm thinking of Mary, dear Mary, the mother of the Messiah. Look in Luke with me, won't you, and see what it says. And 6 months, that's the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that was the older cousin of Mary. And in the 6 month, the angel Gabriel sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I was reading from Luke chapter 1. We know this story. We've known this story since we were children. It's a wonderful story. It's not just a story, it's true. And truth is very important. Martin Luther said, Cursed be the unity for which truth must be put to the stake. We cannot go with lying. We must tell the truth. Now, let's meditate a little bit about Mary and Joseph, the honesty that was in their relationship. And of course, we should have honesty in marriage, shouldn't we? There should not be secrets between husband and wife. Oh, well, if you're going to buy a special present or something like that, you can keep that a secret for a while, but I mean major things. Mary and Joseph were an example in truth. We could learn a lot from these young people. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about Mary and Joseph and how difficult it must have been for those first few months of Mary's pregnancy, to say nothing of the 30 years after she gave birth to Jesus or after he went home to his heavenly home. Mary and Joseph were good, just and noble people, honest and godly, yet entrusted with a secret so great that it would affect the whole world. Honesty, I believe, is the first test in marriage. The first test of any relationship is honesty. You see, this couple was a betrothed couple. A betrothal is much stronger than the engagement that we have today. A couple today can break an engagement and it doesn't affect too many people. Usually there is the engagement ring that has to be returned, and there are hurt feelings between the couple when an engagement's broken, but there are embarrassing explanations to families and to estranged couple. That's about the estranged couple and some close friends, but that is about all. It is paramount that a couple begin their life together in complete truthfulness, with each other and those on the outside. Colossians 3:9, 10-10 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Now this new man, this is when you're born again, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, you're a new person, a new man, a new woman, and you've put off all this old lying that you did before you were saved. A betrothal is complicated. It's more complicated than a marriage. It's legal, like a marriage. We find this practiced in Bible times, this betrothal, and even in some countries today. When a couple is betrothed, they or their legal representative have gone to the courthouse and signed legal papers. Now, when you get engaged, this doesn't usually happen. So that's quite a bit of difference between the betrothal and engagement. The betrothal is a legal thing between the couples and the families. Many times the girl's father finds the husband to be for his unmarried daughter. She could be from 13 to 18 years of age, or maybe older. In Bible times, people married younger than many do today. When the girl is chosen, the groom or his father go to the courthouse to make the legal agreements with the parents of the intended bride. Presents are exchanged from the groom or his family to the bride and her family. This is often called a dowry. A poor father would not have a sufficient dowry for a girl from a family of means. So the people of certain classes would continue in the poor class or the rich class, depending on the financial ability to give or not give sumptuous gifts. Now let's talk about the betrothal celebration. The act of betrothal was celebrated by a feast. Often a ring of fidelity was placed on the bride's finger. This agreement binds them as husband and wife. If for any reason they decide to break the betrothal, they have to return to the courthouse and get a bill of divorcement. Perhaps you're surprised at this. People break engagements today and they don't go to the courthouse to even get engaged, or they don't even go to the courthouse to break it. Perhaps, I'm just thinking now, if we had more legal commitments to engagements, there wouldn't be so many fast engagements, hurried up marriages, and fast breaking of engagements and divorcing. Think about that. Well, I read recently that when a woman becomes betrothed to a man who is called her husband, she goes to live in the husband's father's house or the intended groom's house. The couple is looked upon by the public as husband and wife. But there is one big difference. They do not come together sexually at all. That is not supposed to happen until they are legally married. They are only legally betrothed. James Russell Lowell wrote, "Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own." I keep thinking about Mary and Joseph and wondering, if they were not truthful with one another, what would have happened to Jesus? Living together without marriage is wrong. Today couples are living together thinking nothing of it. Often I ask a girl in this unmarried arrangement about her marriage intentions, and without fail she will say, "Oh, we are going to get married when we can afford it." Often these young women have a child, many times two or three children. They still tell me, "We'll get married when we can afford it." I scratch my head wondering how expensive it is to get a marriage license anyhow. What these sinful women really mean is that they want a big wedding celebration, which means an expensive wedding reception with all the trimmings of the wedding celebrations we read about in magazines. The truth is that it is not the actual marriage that is expensive. It is the celebration they want, which they can't afford. Of course, they seem to be able to afford one baby after another. John 3:21 says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, people have a backwards view of weddings today, I think. People just don't really understand. They do not seem to understand that most important part of the wedding day is not the celebration, but it is a promise to God that the couple makes when they stand before him in their ceremony. A bride and groom do not need to pay thousands and thousands of dollars on their wedding day to get married. It is the actual vows of that day that are important. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, lead to the fortune. Omitted all the voyages of their life is bound in shadows and miseries. We must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. There is a time that we must always be honest. And when we start to lie in our relationships, that is when we have missed going on the tide of truth. Mary with child. This is where we find Mary and Joseph in today's meditation. We find this young couple betrothed, living together, yet not intimate in the marriage union. We read about that in Luke 2:5. They were not married. Joseph was called Mary's husband before they came together. We read about that in Matthew 1:16. When do you think that Mary told her betrothed husband that she was going to have a baby? My, that would be something to do, wouldn't it? What do you think about this? What would you do if the angel Gabriel had come to you and told you you were going to have a baby? Of course, the angel Gabriel didn't do that, but they did that. What do you think she would have told her parents, or told anyone for that matter? When or how Mary told Joseph that she was with child, I do not know, but she had to have been told him sometimes, time before he had his dream in Matthew 1:20. Whether she waited until after her 3 months visit with her older cousin Elizabeth, I do not know. I can visualize it now. One day, as they may have been walking down a path in their hometown of Nazareth, they could have come to the exact spot where Angel Gabriel stopped Mary with the unexpected news. She would be the mother of the Messiah. Or Mary may have told Joseph the news as they sat in their house. She could have pointed out the exact place on the dirt floor where Gabriel had surprised Mary with the news. We do not know. But we do know that Gabriel was sent directly from God to her side. How does one tell one's husband-to-be that she is pregnant? As if that were not bad enough. But to be told that his betrothed was with child by the Holy Spirit was a little much for Joseph to swallow. It all seemed far-fetched to him. I am glad that Mary was honest. No wonder Joseph had a nightmare. No wonder he was grateful to God's word, his word of assurance to him in the middle of the night. Honesty is the best policy, and honesty played an important role in their marriage. Listen next week.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?